Donna. She's very shy. I know Donna from Corona.
I'm Dan.
And there's Dan the man.
Right.
I go to Wildwood Calvary Chapel.
Oh, wonderful. That's the new one out there in New Kuiper, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we are very interdenominational, and this church is, as well as Saturday nights. And we have some newcomers back there that are regular members.
Kenneth and Yvonne Bird.
There you go. Welcome to Saturday nights.
Glad to be here.
I know Donna's all the way from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Pastor Jack Hibbs Church. And and Dan, I knew you from the Packing House, Pastor Ed Ray.
Yeah.
Who's the pastor there at the Wild?
Chris Fraley.
Chris Fraley. Okay, I haven't met him yet.
He used to go to the Packing House. Then he went up to Yucaipa there.
Awesome. Okay. Father God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us, Lord God, that you would teach us and that you would grow us in your grace and knowledge and your power and your courage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And just a reminder, for those of you that want to tell other people about Saturday night, since we're relatively a new service, we have advertisement cards back there in the box, as well as free Saturday night t-shirts. Grab one. And tonight, please open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. In review, and by the way, I've entitled tonight's message, Revelation chapter 9. My wife always puts that on the screen, what the message is. What you be entitled tonight's message? And I go, Revelation chapter 9. She goes, no, what are you going to call tonight's message? And I go, Revelation chapter 9, because I don't have one. Sometimes when you're trying to be too creative, it doesn't work. But tonight's study will go a little longer than normal. I usually keep them around 35 to 45 minutes. We might go about 55 minutes tonight, so please bear with me. But anyways, in review, last week we went over four of the seven trumpet judgments. And we ended with verse 13 of chapter 8 last week, where John witnessed the angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound." Emphasis added on the remaining blasts. God was warning those left behind during the seven-year tribulation that more blasts and more trumpet judgments would soon follow. And I have no doubt, matter of fact, it's no doubt, we know for a fact that God is warning us today that those trumpets will soon come. As you know, when I teach through an exposition through the Scriptures, I normally read the entire text twice in one study. First, I read the entire text as it stands alone, and then I go back over the text and do an exposition of each verse, one verse at a time. However, when there's a larger amount of Scripture in a chapter like there is tonight, which is 21 verses, I'm just going to go ahead and go over the text once and then do an exposition as we go through. Oftentimes when I'm teaching, I'm actually narrating the Word of God in my text. So try to read along with the Scriptures as I teach. And this evening in chapter 9, we're going to be going over two trumpet judgments. And verses 1 through 12 is the fifth trumpet judgment, the plague of the locusts from the bottomless pit. And then in verses 13 through 21 is the sixth trumpet judgment, the plague of the angels from the Euphrates River area. Now God's word, verse 1. "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." The word star here doesn't mean literally a star. As you know, I literally take the word of God for what it is, but in the book of Revelation, often much of it is figurative speech. And here, he isn't speaking of the star. He's actually speaking of Satan falling down from above. In verse 9, John refers to the star as he. The star is Satan himself. The prophet Isaiah even said regarding him in Isaiah 14:12, and he said, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground." That's a verse I almost want to say with sarcasm. The prophet Isaiah saying, "How you are cut down to the ground, O Lucifer." Boy, I'll tell you, we know the ending of him, don't we? I'm looking forward to those days when he is cast down and locked in forever. The bottomless pit is Satan's subterranean home, if you will. It's known also as the abyss or the great abyss. It's a place of torment for Satan and his demons and those that want to follow him. You know, there is a purgatory, but not for Christians. There is a place for Satan and his allies called the abyss. For Christians, it's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. But there is a place for Satan called the Great Abyss. It is also a place where Satan's demons live as well, and they will frequent from there. And now in verse 2, the Apostle John said, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." Satan now descends downwards and opens the bottomless pit. But remember, only because Christ gave him the key. God is still on the throne. Satan can't do this without God's authorization first. It says later in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ has the key to the abyss. This will cause a catastrophic, prophetic mass of thick smoke, particles, and great emissions into the air. Something that the environmentalists are probably not looking forward to. Although I do appreciate God's environment, by the way, but I don't worship it. This is going to be so thick that it basically says that the sunshine will barely shine. And now in verse 3, John saw that out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. These locusts, as well as all the plagues in this book, may be either caused by man-made, God-made, or a mixture of both. Man-made would be whatever your imagination is, whatever man can dream up as that God allows prophetically. It may be military might, machinery, nuclear holocaust, nuclear winter, and so forth. God-made means supernatural acts of God. We talked a lot about that last week. But also, it's going to be a mixture of both. These plagues, the trumpets and the bowls and so forth. Some of them will be a man actually doing things against other men, but God is. But it's going to be a prophetic, supernatural type of demonic power that God is allowing to be unleashed before those left behind. And then some of it is going to be supernatural, God-made events that man cannot do anything with. And then some of it will be a mixture of both. Regarding this trumpet judgment, I believe that these locusts... Now remember, I will never give you my opinion with prophecy, because I don't ever want to be wrong. But the fifth trumpet judgment may be machinery, which God has allowed to be unleashed. Remember, some of these horses we talk about may be military. But the locusts are a little different here, and I prayed about this, and a friend of mine that's an expert in the area of prophecy, and he's really studied these things. He keeps Mike Baker. He sent me a video that I'm going to play tonight. I've actually added three to it, but what may very well be this plague. And Agort, I'm not a prophet, but I want you to see this video. Eventually we're going to show it. But could it actually be locusts flying in the air?
Sure.
Absolutely, yes. God can do anything that he chooses. However, I'm going to show you this video that later, in about 10 minutes, that may very well be the machinery that man has created, but everything is created by God, but God's going to allow man to actually play a role in the end times, in these plagues. Now, verse 4 says that these locusts were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or anything green, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Can anybody remember who these people are that had the seal of God on their foreheads?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's amen on that. The 144,000 Jews. So this means that these locusts will have intelligence. They will be able to discern the difference between the human beings that have God's seal of protection on their foreheads and which ones do not. Now, verse 5 says that they were not given authority to kill men, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion that strikes a man. So the Apostle John is saying not only these locusts, but they're like a scorpion that strikes a man. If these plagues are locusts, which they may be, they'll be like flying scorpions with stings on them. But if they are locusts, let's go ahead and go over some of the symptoms of their sting. Today there are over 1,500 species of scorpions worldwide. And some of them are deadly, but most of them are not. For some that are not deadly, here are some of the symptoms of their sting. although some of them sound more like the symptoms of my first love. The truth is, in 1965, I loved my first grade teacher, Mrs. Elledge, and I was heartbroken when she came to class and told us that she was going to be leaving us because she was with child. How dare her? She was married and she was going to have a baby. And I went home crying like a little baby. That was my first love. But in all seriousness, this may sound like your first love, but these scorpions that don't kill you can give you an intense pain, numbness and tingling, swelling or no swelling, muscle twitching, thrashing, or convulsions. And if these are scorpions, these are what these people that are left behind are going to suffer. Unusual headaches, unusual neck and eye movements, drooling, sweating, restlessness, excitability, and sometimes inconsolable crying, rapid breathing, high blood pressure, increased heart rate, weakness, rolling around on the ground in pain because the pain is going to be so unbearable they're rolling on the ground as if they were on fire. That's what a scorpion can do today, the serious ones that don't kill you. So imagine what if these are scorpions then, what the prophetic, supernatural, demonically powered scorpions would do to you, foaming at the mouth and grinding their teeth. The symptoms from a scorpion may last 3 to 5 days, according to medical reports that I researched. But John said these symptoms will last 5 months. That's a long time. But remember, these locusts or machinery, whichever the one will be under the influence of satanic powers that God is going to allow. The consequences are in verse 6. The Apostle John said that in those days, those men that are stung will be so miserable that they will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. I could not imagine being in so much pain that you'd want to die, but this prophetic curse would not even allow suicide to be possible. They're going to try to commit suicide, but they will not be able to. God is so much on the throne, and if it is His will for us to live, I want you to know there's nothing that can kill us, including our own attempts of suicide. Does everybody understand that? On the contrary, if it is God's will for us to die, there is nothing that we can do to prevent our death or to stop our death. I'm going to share you a very short story that is very real and it's very graphic. I would not share this on Sunday morning church service. But I'm going to share this because it's very applicable to this plague and this verse. Years back as a policeman, I responded to a domestic violence radio call. There were shots fired. And upon arrival, I saw a woman running down the street partially clad in a negligee. And she had blood spatter all over the front of her body. My investigation, fast-forwarding through it, revealed that she had just told her husband that she was going to divorce him. He was very despondent and distraught. He sat on his bed with a 12-gauge shotgun, and he placed the butt of the shotgun on the ground, and he placed the barrel under his chin. And his last known words were this, quote, "Do you want to see something real ugly?" Close quote. His wife turned around to see what she was saying, and all she saw and heard was the blast. The shotgun blast literally blew his face off of his head. He was now alive, believe it or not, but unconscious. Obviously, we secured the scene as an attempt homicide scene because it just looked like a shotgun. It's pretty hard to shoot yourself. But he was unconscious, and due to the loss of his vocal cords, he was never able to speak again. But through other forms of electronic communication later, we were able to confirm that he admitted that he did, in fact, try to kill himself, and she was not a suspect, so she was exonerated. But I share this story only in the context of this plague. These men, these women, and even children will be in so much pain and agony that they'll wish death. And like that one person said, "You want to see something really ugly?" Well, he lived, and he was really ugly. If you ever seen the movie Face Off, of course, not that anybody here would ever watch an R-rated movie with violence in it, of course, right? But it kind of reminds me of 9/11, the World Trade Center towers. People were in so much pain and so much agony that we saw them leap through the windows to their deaths. But these people, that won't even kill them. Donna Maxey very much involved her Act for America. She hosts events warning people about the Islam within America and counterterrorism. She knows very much, she's an expert in the area. But these people on 9/11, as they jumped through those windows to their deaths because the pain was so overbearing, these people, death will not leave them, the scripture says. in verse 5. Enough of that ugly story, but this is going to get real ugly, and we need to tell the truth in love. But it says in verse 6 that these people left behind will seek death but will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And death will flee from them means death cannot find them. It means the death will not be a part. They're just going to be in torture for so long, for 5 months. Most cannot see this. Non-believers cannot see this, and I believe a majority of the church, a large, maybe not the majority, but a large part of the body of Christ may not even see this in this verse, but what I see here is God's love. I see God's grace giving them more time to repent. Remember, they were forewarned. Everyone hearing this message today is forewarned. Everybody hearing this audio tape that'll be on the internet, on the website, will be forewarned. Every person that attends an evangelical Bible-teaching church that teaches the full counsel of God will be warned. And God's giving them another opportunity to repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, and I quote, "It is not a laughing matter to reject Jesus Christ. It is not a simple thing to ignore him. People say there are so many important things in this life. I am willing to grant that many things take second, third, and fourth place. But the most important thing is your decision concerning Jesus Christ." And now in verses 7 through 10, the Apostle John said, "The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men." Verse 8, "They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sounds of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings on their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months." It says that these scorpions, the scorpion portion of these locusts look similar to horses prepared for battle. Their heads were crowns of something like gold. Their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth was like a lion's teeth. They had breastplates, armor of iron in front of them. And the sound of their wings, which you'll hear on here, may very well be. The sound of their wings was like the sounds of chariots. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings on their tails. Their power was to hurt them for 5 months. These creatures or machines are so intelligent that they can discern the difference between who has the seal, the 144,000, and who does not. And now in verse 11, the Apostle John says, "And they had king over them. They had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in Greek, he had a name of Apollyon." Isn't it interesting, cool, that this verse has a built-in Strong's concordance right into it? It says the Hebrew word and the Greek word. And the translation of Abaddon means destruction. The translation of Apollyon means destroyer. This demonic angel will control the bottomless pit. Now in verse 12, one woe is past. Remember last week, the angel was warning, woe, woe, woe. That was past tense. Now, the present tense right here, it says that one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Boy, God is so full of love and grace. He's given all kinds of warnings here, isn't he? John's referring to those woes that were shouted out by the angel, obviously. And now we go over verses 13 through 21, the sixth judgment. Actually, you know what we're going to do? Lori, if you can hit play on that machine, or actually just hit the on button, it'll boot up and get warmed up. But before we go over the next trumpet judgment, was the sixth trumpet judgment, we're going to play a video here in a couple seconds. And I want you to keep an eye on the description. Keep in mind these creatures come with precision point accuracy, mobility and flexibility, the ability to adapt to different environments you will see, which may be the locust that you see here. They come with speed, confidence, and intelligence. And remember, these are obviously created by man, but some of the plagues will be man-made that God allowed. If you could hit play, I'd appreciate that. It's going to take a second to boot up, it looks like. Is she going? There we go.
We developed a nanoquadrator capable of agile flight. Multiple vehicles can fly as a formation. We developed a method to transition between formations in 3D. The team can also navigate in environments with obstacles. We implemented an autonomous controller capable of recovering from extreme initial conditions. We can precisely track trajectories with large accelerations and velocities. Method for generating trajectories to optimally fly through any number of waypoints. We can quickly generate trajectories to react to dynamic objects. In this video, we demonstrate trajectory planning and autonomous control using quadrotors of different size. Our largest quadrotor is strong and stable enough to serve as an aerial docking station for the smaller vehicles. We developed a method for planning optimal trajectories for these heterogeneous teams in 3D environments. Here we use the method to quickly transition between various formations. The method does not allow quadrotor collisions or small quadrotors to fly in the turbulent downwash of their larger counterparts. We can transition between formations while the formation itself is translating and rotating. Obstacle avoidance constraints can also be automatically enforced in this method. This video presents autonomous control capabilities for a quadrotor helicopter. We use a 20-camera Vicon system and an onboard IMU for state estimation. Here we show single, double, and triple flips. We developed a method for flying to any position in space with any reasonable velocity or pitch angle. We use the method to fly through windows at various angles. Here there is less than 3 inches of clearance on all sides of the quadrotor. you also fly between other quadrants. The same method can be used to descend or ascend through a horizontal squat. By placing Velcro on the bottom of the quadrupeder and on a target, the quadrupeder can perch on a surface. Here we demonstrate perching on an inclined surface. And now on an inverted surface.
It's interesting, that's only this generation. The next generation of those would obviously be even more sophisticated, more powerful, and intelligent. Even if your windows were locked and closed, those left behind, think about it. Even closing their windows won't help, because these things will even be able to dive right through the windows. They'll be able to shoot any type of dart into somebody's neck or where, anywhere on their body, which could be the sting. So again, these may be a machinery, or it may be an actual locust flying with a sting of a scorpion. Our government currently owns multiple types of these unmanned drones. Some of my former colleagues at the LAPD actually use them. The generation before this one, they actually used the drones for aerial and video surveillance. I know a state-licensed private investigator, a colleague of mine, that actually owns one that he uses for aerial surveillance and aerial photography. You remember Calvary Chapel pastor Brent Coronado of Hemet. Remember, he was arrested by the California Highway Patrolman officer Damian Myers. Remember that? He was arrested for preaching the gospel out in front of the DMV on the outside. For those of you who know, I was very, very active in that, in supporting that pastor and opposing the CHP officer. But the story's on my blog. I even got some interesting mail from a person from the Department of Highway Patrol that criticized my support of him. And I actually forwarded that to Pastor Brent Coronado's law firm that was defending him. But a long story short, Pastor Brent Coronado, his company High Flight Films, he actually has a company called High Flight Films, owns a very sophisticated remote control helicopter drone. You can go to Facebook at High Flight Films and there's photographs of it. And quite frankly, it looks more like the locust in this verse, in this chapter. It looks a lot more like a locust than these do on this film. So even a fellow pastor even owns one that he uses for doing aerial and video photography for anybody that wanted to hire him to do that work. But so the technology is there. This is not Hollywood. This isn't something that we're dreaming up. It's there, and it's growing rapidly. They're making so many of these now that it's actually becoming inexpensive to buy one. It used to be up almost $10,000 to purchase something like this when they first came out years ago. But the government can make them pennies on a dollar now. So, you know, it's not beyond our imagination to think that this could be the actual plague. Now, we're going to be going through verses 13 through 21. We're going to move over to the sixth trumpet judgment, the angel from the Euphrates. John said in verses 13 through 14 that, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." This altar is the same altar that we spoke about last Saturday night in chapter 8, which burns the charcoal, which the frankincense spice, the incense, would emit and emitted in heaven from. And remember, last Saturday night we actually burned incense in here just to kind of give a smell, the aroma of the frankincense. But regarding the four horns mentioned on this altar, at times the horns of the animals were tied to these altars. One horn or one set of horns would be mounted onto each of the four corners of this altar. One is described in Exodus chapter 27, verses 1 through 2, which is a blueprint for this altar. It says, "You shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its four corners. Its horns shall be one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze." In other words, it's made out of acacia wood and literally covered, not with sheet metal, but with bronze. Now in verse 13, the Apostle John said that he heard a voice emitting from the altar. John previously heard other voices. Now, if you go to the police and tell them you're hearing voices, they're probably going to take you 5150 and put you in the funny house. But it is possible to hear voices, voices from God. God speaks to us all the time. I remember when President George Bush was running for president, he admitted that he was a Christian and God speaks to him. And all the liberals and the Antichrist were making fun of George Bush. But John said that he heard voices before. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, he heard an angel's voice. In chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, John heard the voices of the martyrs crying out to God. And now here in verse 13, he's hearing another voice. This one's crying out from the altar. Most scholars agree that this voice coming from the altar is the voice of Jesus himself. Remember, he's God and he's on the throne and he's in command of all of this happening. And I agree with that assessment. Now in verse 14, this voice commands the sixth angel, who is most likely Jesus himself, commanding the sixth angel to release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. This voice indicated that there are four angels that were bound. This indicates there were more Satan's fallen angels. The Euphrates River has a dark past. And boy, history repeats itself, doesn't it? It was near the garden where we had our first domestic violence and murder recorded in history, and that was where Cain slew Abel. It was where the floods began, the Euphrates River. It was where the Tower of Babel stood. It was where Babylon was built. It was where world government began. It was where world religion began. And still today, the Euphrates River area is associated with astrology, idolatry, demon worship, witchcraft, and other dark sins. It's a major scene of today's war on terrorism. Not that the war itself is evil, but there's a lot of, unfortunately, violence going on. I'm a big supporter of the war, although I personally think it's time to bring our troops home. At first, I was very, very big supporter, but I personally would like to see all the troops come home now, especially if they're going to complain that we're helping them. I think it's time to bring our boys and girls home. But it's also a place where the Muslim extremists and terrorists are breeding from this location and frequently beheading other people. And, of course, we see that coming into America now. But what's interesting is that today, most major rivers in America are known for bad now, for drunkenness and partying and revileries and drug use and fornication. I think the Colorado River and Laughlin now have a worse reputation than Vegas ever had. Hey, but at least what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? Well, not really, because according to Psalms chapter 17:3 and Psalms 44:21 and Psalms 139 verses 1 through 4, God knows and tests our hearts. God knows our secrets and he understands our thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Nothing stays in Vegas. Now in verse 15, John describes the angels' havoc. It says that, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. That's a heck of a plague that's released. This verse indicates that these angels had been released from captivity for a specific person, date, and time frame. God's timing, of course. And then they will kill a third of mankind. And now in verse 16 it says, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. He said 200 million and he's letting us know, I heard the number of them. He's reporting to us, not only do I know how many, I heard the number of them. And China may play a very big role in this. We know that the war of Gog and Magog, that China's going to align, obviously, with Iran and go against Israel. But the word horseman here may very well be horses as we know them today, an actual real horse, but with unique powers. You say, well, wait a second. With all the modern technology, why would there be real horses used in this war? Well, because if an EMP, an electronic magnetic pulse bomb, was shed over, no cars would work. And they may have to result to horses. You just never know. But it may be military, machinery. It may be some sort of demonic monstrosity. We don't know. But it will happen. And today there are only two nations that can saddle up 2 million men with a snap of a finger. And those are India and who else?
China.
That's right. India and China are the only two nations that can do that right now. 2 million men or women saddling them up on horses or putting them in machines or whatever. Many historians believe that this military will come from China. I agree with it because of their population. Because China's oil reserves are almost depleted today. Her gasoline consumption has increased 7 times faster than America. They're going to get desperate. Regretfully, our United States Congress continues to give a majority vote giving China the MFN status, the most favorite nation status, which I disagree with. And now China is using our money to build their weaponry and military against us. We're actually funding terrorism, and we're funding a country that's got dozens of missiles pointed at us right now that can strike this nation. I met with Congressman Ken Calvert when I used to be with the Christian Coalition. He was then the congressman of the 43rd Congressional District, and Congressman Ken Calvert said, well, that's the Christian thing to do. Well, I let Mr. Calvert know that I strongly disagreed with him. And the Christian Coalition only gave him a 90% on their vote on the voters' cards because of that vote of supporting the most favored nation status to China. These angels will satanically influence this military to kill 1/3 of mankind. And now in verse 17, John saw the horses in the vision, those who sat on them and had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Again, this is most likely military. Their breastplates may refer to their armored protection. Regarding the heads like lions, you see the front of cars or the vehicles sometimes are made, and they actually look like the vehicle that they're the animal that they're named after. Whether it be the Beetle, or some of these new Dodge Ram trucks, the front end looks like a Dodge Ram. So, God can do anything if He allows man to do it or to use it. The fire, smoke, and brimstone emitting from their mouths is tantamount to weaponry, to missiles or explosions from these military machines. And now in verse 18 tells us the effects of these plagues. It says, by these plagues, 1/3 of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Verse 19, John further describes this horse, demonic creature or military machine, and here it is. He says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. And now in verse 20, John addresses another problem as he names some of the sins that those left behind commit. He says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor walk. John said the rest of these mankind, he's referring to a worldwide problem that God is going to be dealing with. They still failed to repent. It said that they were worshiping idolatry. They worshiped gold and silver, etc. It says in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forgot God. These people forgot God. We're talking the end of end times, and they still didn't repent. Prophecy expert Hal Lindsey said that today there's more witchcraft, Satanism, and occultism today, right here in America, than the ancient days of Rome. And I agree with that assessment. Now, John describes 4 more sins in verse 21. He talked about some that they were committing in verse 20. Now, in verse 21, he says, and they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Wow. God, through John, closes up another chapter by calling those to repentance. Remember last week, the last verse was calling those to repentance. Those left behind still had not repented of their murders, their sorceries. Sorcery, what is that? Pharmakia, drugs, sexual immorality, and thefts. And this is an accurate depiction of America today. America leads the world in these sins. The Church of America is becoming more and more like the world system. So many within the church are rightfully concerned of what's known as the creeping Sharia law within America. That's the Islamization of America. But I'm more concerned about the church's tolerance and acceptance of the creeping sin within the church. You say, well, wait a second. I'm a sinner. Yes, I am. I am a sinner. But it's a sin to condone, acquiesce, and accept those sins. I wouldn't want anybody to accept my sins. You can accept me and love me, and I accept you and love you, but we should never condone and acquiesce each other's sins. And that's what's happening within the church throughout America, unfortunately. Regarding murder, the sin of murder they were committing, today America has the highest murder rate in the world. I'm sure most Christians do not commit murder by actually killing another human being, but John said in 1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has an eternal life abiding in him. I don't have any hatred towards any brothers and sisters, but I do admit, I do have to frequently pair about being frustrated with some. I'm sure you all do, and I'm sure there's people that have to frequently pray about being frustrated with me too, because we're all in this together. Regarding sorceries, America is the highest in illegal drug use. Illegal drug use. Within four blocks right here on Mentone Boulevard, we have three marijuana dispensaries right here on Mentone. And now that's considered legal sorcery or legal drug use, but not according to God. It's not legal. And so many people have accepted it. Well, just a gateway drug. It's sorcery. Regarding sexual immorality, today the secular society, the world system within America, has become sexually immoral, but sadly the church is catching up. Remember what Paul told the Christians in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said those that practice those things would not inherit the kingdom of God. And regarding the thefts, no explanation needed here. But too many people look at the last two verses as a negative. Again, I see a positive here. I see a loving God calling not only the world system to repent of those that were left behind, but we know that God's word is talking to us today as well. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Father God. We ask that your Holy Ghost would be with us, Lord. We know that your word would not go void. And Father, we pray that anybody hearing this message, Lord God,